order for the admin portion of the meeting. We don't have any consent matters, so we'll move right into discussion. We have three discussion matters, starting with Randall's excavating request to vacate commission order and notice of default by Pat.
Put this on the agenda for because Commissioner Crush just wanted to have a discussion on where we were going next with that, and we have a request by Randall to Randall's to vacate the commission's order on default. And so the question is, what do we do next? And whether the I guess I asked Jack to be here for that discussion from legal. And I don't know if that's your note.
I can give my quick thoughts on it. I think it might be helpful. The order that we approved gave Randall's up to 7 days to request that we vacate the order, as Pat just mentioned. They did follow up and do so and issued, and there wasn't anything specific. It just said 7 days to vacate the order. It didn't state, the order didn't state, and reasons why. So they sent a request that we vacate the order. My thought is we gave them that opportunity, and because we did give them that opportunity and they took advantage of it, I think we should hear them out. Otherwise, it would beg the question, why did we give them 7 days to potentially vacate the order, and then they requested that it be vacated, and then the alternative is to do nothing, but that seems disingenuous in my opinion. So,
yeah, you do make a good point that our order just says file a written motion requesting, and that's what they did. It's right. Like two sentences. But I, in their defense, how would they know that what this means? So I don't disagree. What are you saying? Like, we go back to them and say we need a more fleshed out.
Well, I think that's where Jack comes in, because in my discussion with Pat, I had asked, can we do this through an informal hearing process to have them come in, present their side of the story, or does it have to be a, I think typically, Pat, did you say in the past these things have been through a formal hearing process? But my question to Jack would be, or either anyone who's got the answer, can we do this in an informal hearing setting, or do we have to go to a formal hearing, or can we do an in-between step, as Chair Fedorchuk just mentioned, and ask them to provide more detail first?
My understanding is this would be a contested hearing, and the issues are contested, so it would have to be a formal.
Can we do the in-between step first?
To ask for grounds for the to vacate?
Right, or is that...
No, we could request the grounds to vacate. The commission doesn't have to vacate the order. It's permissive. We write that in there so they have the opportunity for you guys to consider whether to vacate the order or not. So we could take the additional step if we are looking for to receive the grounds for the request to vacate, if that's what you're asking for. But the grounds to vacate more than likely will be a reason why they didn't procedurally respond within the period of time, as opposed to if that's what you're looking for, as opposed to related to the issues of the case.
And I believe we heard some of those reasons when you go through, when I've gone through and looked at the docket.
Sure.
They did provide some reasoning in terms of why they believe that they had, because they did call in when they had hit at least one prior unmarked facility. So I think they believe they were doing the right thing, but they didn't call the next one in thinking it was along the same line, is my impression. So
right, and those would be the factual issues that would come
right
up by the case, as opposed to the response to the order to vacate. That would be, why didn't you respond within the period of time that resulted in the default?
Well, here's my thought.
Well, can't we ask for both, though?
I think we could ask for both. Sure. I think we can, definitely. I think my thought is I kind of know what they're going to present, and then we would go into a formal hearing to flesh it out.
Sure. Well, and I guess they're both two different mechanisms. From that standpoint, we certainly could request information. We could request another response in addition to the response they already provided. But again, those would be facts that should be brought up during the hearing regardless.
Right.
Anyways.
It's become a moot point to get the preliminary information.
It's not moot from the standpoint that this is something that you guys want. I mean, when you guys request data information, you guys always are able to do that in any form or to the extent you need to ahead of time. But at the end of the day, they would still have to present this at the hearing, regardless. In order for it to be in the record proceeding.
Go ahead, Randy.
I guess I sort of feel like this has drug on a long time, and that's not, I mean, that's mostly their fault. But contractors don't necessarily understand our procedures and stuff, so I don't criticize them for that. It's just that their actions and non-actions have made it take a long time. To me, getting some information filed, I don't know. It seems to me it's just adding another step in getting to the point. I think we need to just do a hearing and hear their side of things and make a decision and move on. I don't know if it's allowable or appropriate to explain to them a little bit about what a hearing means and the kinds of things we will expect as evidence and such, and that, you know, they'll be cross-examined or, you know, however it's going to work. But I always kind of feel badly for people that aren't in the normal regulatory world here and know how all of our various procedures work, when all of a sudden they're called in and they really don't know how this all goes.
Sure. And
so, question procedurally. So, we have the order. Their options were to request to pay the penalty, or request to have the order vacated. They requested to have an order vacated. So now what are our options?
Whether to actually vacate the default order, because it's actually already been issued, so you're essentially going to be undoing.
Can't quite hear you, Jack.
So you guys have issued the order default, and so you would essentially be vacating that order. So the next order would probably, if you guys wanted to have a hearing.
Yeah, but we don't have any information to do that on.
Sure.
Right now.
It was just the request that he provided. So if you would like to us to reach out and get the grounds that he, why it should be vacated, and why he didn't respond within that period of time, and why he should be able to be heard, we could reach out and follow up if the commission thinks that's what it needs.
Okay, so I'm sorry I interrupted you. The sure. Two options are vacating the order, which we could just do that right now without any information.
No, we would have to do an order vacate. We'd have to vacate the order. It would be a separate.
But we don't have any facts on which to base that.
Right.
So what is our next step?
Again, that's a procedural mechanism, though. So you guys are essentially saying, okay, well, he showed up. Normally someone would provide grounds saying, like, you know what, to be honest, I was sick. I was out of the country. I wasn't able to respond within this period of time, whatever the grounds would be. If you guys don't feel that you need that, we could say, yes, this is something we want, probably in the next meeting. Staff would come forward with a written essentially an order vacating the default order and scheduling it for a hearing. That would be the normal procedural mechanism. If you guys wanted to mull it over and get additional information, we could reach out and say, what are the grounds for your request to vacate the order, so we can consider whether we're going to actually, in fact, vacate this order.
So if we vacate the order, then it goes to a hearing?
Yes. Yep. Now it goes straight back into where it was without that order being issued.
Okay. That makes more sense to me then.
Okay.
So vacate. Okay. Does that make more sense to you now? Is So the order is just the default.
Yes, and it was right.
Which basically said you guys didn't respond, so now you have to pay $10,000 or.
Right, there was this formal complaint, but these allegations you did not dispute them, and so.
Okay.
In essence, procedurally, we move forward without you.
So that helps me then, and I think it gets to where Randy is. Like, so what you outlined would be basically just vacating the order, and then it goes to a hearing, and we decide whether or not what the penalty should be for what they did, or if there is a penalty that's deserved.
Right.
For their failure to follow the one call rules.
Right. We would just set a hearing, a formal hearing, probably in the next meeting, and proceed as if we have in every other damage prevention case.
I bet they don't understand that, but that vacating the order isn't just making it all go away. Right. I bet they think it does. I would if I was them. Like, but vacating the order just makes the default part of it go away. Mm-hmm. You still have to. We'd still have to deal with the results of your damage to the underground facility. So,
you know, from a a lessons learned standpoint, I've said that about 3 times today. Not related to, I was talking about the technical conference and the February event, just to be clear that. I think the lesson learned here is to be more specific if a request to vacate, and it, you know, I believe it does, you know, should be a part of the order, but also stating reasons why and or request for hearing or however we word that in the future, just so I think it will be a little clearer to an operator. But my thought is, let's have the hearing. Right. We gave them the opportunity. I don't know if they completely understand, or maybe they do. But I'd like to hear what they have to say. And in fairness to them, in terms of, we did send them a letter on the one call complaint on the 18th. Of December 2019, or no, the complaint came in on December 18th, 2019. The next day, a letter was sent out by Victor on behalf of the commission. So within 24 hours, they responded on January 9th to that. But then we didn't issue a letter filing the complaint until September 21st. So that 9 months was on our end.
Yeah.
Unless I'm reading the docket wrong. But anyway, I think we should hear what they have to say, give them the opportunity to.
So you're saying vacate the order, too, and just going straight to the hearing?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And
so we don't need that intermediary step.
And then who knows? Maybe it's a different type of an order. Maybe a penalty is still a part of this. There are a lot of ifs, but let's see what they have to say and take it from there.
And I don't know this company. I've never talked to them. As I was preparing and read through stuff, I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of it's based on the fact that they did 3 locate tickets for this project. So as things were getting messed up or too much time had expired, so it seems like they were trying.
Oh,
and then subsequently, after things had happened in January, they sent us a letter that kind of lays out their case. And sometimes I think they think, well, we already told them. And so when we request a response, they think, well, they got it. And that maybe they're not used to having to continue to refresh things and go through a government regulatory process.
Yeah, it is.
So somehow in all this, I hope we can communicate to them that we need someone to present their case to us for judgment. Or,
is it possible?
Or if they're going to rely on their letter, then refresh it and say, this is our evidence.
If we vacate this and it goes back, like, to a hearing, is it possible to do a consent agreement at this point?
Yep. Any time prior or even after hearing before a decision, a consent order could be filed.
Because maybe there's a new opportunity for that. Like here, let's just get to the bottom of this. Here's your two choices. We can come up with an agreement, or you got to go through a hearing process.
Right. We will reach out after. Well, actually, Pat and I can reach out prior to that and explain what's going to come if the vacate does in fact make it on the next agenda, and describe this and explain this to him. And if we feel need for further discussion, we could add this on. If he understands, then that's fine as well.
That's you make a really good point, Julie. Because I think this is where you're going. I know this is where you're going to. So vacate the order. Ask them to provide reasons why. Their rationale, because if we choose to have it settled prior to having a hearing, having a consent agreement put in place, I would like to have the specific information in front of me in terms of what's their rationale, what's their defense, reasoning, et cetera, because we'll have to have something to go off of.
In the consent agreement?
Yeah.
If we want to consider a consent agreement, we're going to need some background information that, you know, we might look at and say, okay, you know, that puts it in a different light, or maybe it doesn't, but if it does, and then we're comfortable with the consent, we don't necessarily then have to go to hearing, but we will need that background, I think,
sure,
to make that decision.
At this point, I have a question about the consent agreement part. Would that go back to advocacy staff, like in rate cases? That would, if there was going to be any discussion about settlement agreements or anything like that, that would still go back to between advocacy staff and the respondent, right?
Right. That would be advocacy staff.
Yeah.
And
we typically then, for whatever reasons they have to do a consent agreement, those reasons are fleshed out between advocacy and the respondent.
Correct. So that's one of the reasons to request their reasoning, so we can actually see it.
Well, normally, I mean, I guess, and usually a lot of times things aren't filed along with the consent agreement. What is contained within the consent agreement justifies it. So,
right.
But I think maybe advocacy staff heard this today, and they'll probably try to flesh it out a little more within that agreement. And if you guys need some additional information after that too, maybe they could also file a memorandum along with that. I did want to point out, just to follow up on a couple of the items that the commissioners expressed, when we span the 9 months, I could tell you that a default order from a staff's perspective doesn't just happen with nothing happening within that 9 months. It's usually us reaching out, trying to work with them, and trying to schedule a hearing as well, but was very little to no communication. It's usually the default order happens after they just cut it off and stop responding for quite a period of time. So it's not like no one had been trying to notify him for probably that period of time. And just to follow up, I guess, on his response about how we worded this and how whether or not to file something, we actually had to express that he should write something and file it with us. So, I mean, we could have written probably a number of things in this order. He might not have actually followed that to the point. But that's not to, of course, influence any sort of decision the commission would make. It's just to make him generally aware of probably what has proceeded in the meantime.
Well, and then just as a follow-up to what Jack is saying on a little bit different topic, the order cites the statute, the North Dakota Century Code statute, in his... in the end,
right,
and says we're filing this notice of default under that statute, and that statute actually says that he can request to be vacated, but stating the grounds relied upon. It says that in the century. But I agree, it should probably we should be stating that in the order as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
But regardless, I know in the past the commissioners and the commissions have been a little bit more agreeable working with usually individual excavators, especially considering when they're not represented, usually because they're not as sophisticated within reading the statute and the laws.
Yeah. Well, I'd be confused by one of these letters. I mean, I'd be like, what does this mean? And it's not your first instinct either to go call an attorney.
Sure.
Right? And they could explain it, but that wouldn't even cross my mind right away either. So
he could have called us, though, and we would have explained it to him.
True. Yeah. Assuming he believes that any phone calls to are answered by live human beings anymore, which is, I mean, we do that here, but a lot of places don't. So I think, right. I do think folks just have kind of lost faith in government and their ability to actually get somewhere by calling.
Sure.
But not here. People, for anyone listening, we respond. Real live human beings.
Because at the Public Service Commission, service is our middle name.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, just had a flashback.
We all put the service in Public Service Commission.
And there it is.
And the public.
All right. Do we have a direction on that then? Pretty clear?
Can someone explain? No, I'm kidding.
All right. Moving on to the second item. Fire danger risk mitigation. Victor.
So last meeting, you'd asked me to send out data requests to both the co-ops and our IOUs as far as what their normal procedures are to mitigate or to minimize fire danger risks and what extra efforts they're doing this year. I'm primarily just looking for what it is you want me to do with the information. So I haven't received all of the responses, but I've got about 15 back so far.
Cool.
So are you looking for a summary of them? Do you just want to see them?
What format are you getting them in? Emails?
Emails.
Is it kind of a answer to your questions, sort of, so it's easy to...
Relatively speaking, yeah. Some have written more than others, but...
Is this going in a docket number, or where
are
we putting this?
We don't have a docket open for it. We can't.
iFile, or...
Right.
I guess I think it would be helpful once you get all the responses to maybe we either add it to admin discussion or start do a work session and just go through them.
Sure.
But it's hard for me to say because I haven't seen any of it. You know, if there's enough there to make it worth a work session. If not, maybe you just make sure we get copies of them. We can all read them too. Just
and yeah. Obviously, that's fine. I can kind of summarize them at some point. Once I receive the majority of them, I can draft a memo just kind of summarizing, you know, generally speaking, it appears that all the companies are taking appropriate steps, both normally and some extraordinary efforts this year with, you know, maybe there's some exceptions or something like that that we may want to follow up on. But
And that was sort of my question of the ones you've received. Are there certain standards out there and they're pretty much all just telling us the same thing, that they follow these standards, and then maybe if they have some extra, viewings or something like that, just to be extra cautious because of the droughty situation. Are they pretty standardized, or are they all over the board?
They're a little bit all over. I mean, there are some standards out there. There are the NESC standards that we're kind of referencing initially. And then a number of them have referenced rural utility service standards as well. So, you know, generally everyone, no one's saying we're not following any standards, you know. But there's that. And then, you know, some of them are saying, you know, well, and this year we're doing these things. So I guess we can create an iCase to put all these responses in. Once I get the majority of them in there, I'll draft a short memo, and then we can bring it up on discussion on a future meeting. And
perfect.
You can decide if you want to take a few additional action from there.
Victor, would you send out an email with the iCase once it's actually created so we know which one to look into if we want to take a look at the documents?
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Victor.
Thank you.
Appreciate that follow-up. All right. The last item for discussion is the review of final plans for the conference. I think we all have copies of the agenda. Randy and I just talked briefly yesterday about, you know, having this discussion so we could just walk through our the agenda one last time, make sure we're kind of all on the same page. So, Randy, do you want to go through it?
Well, I'm glad we're discussing it because I'm still a little unsure of how we had concluded we were going to proceed once we get to, like, the 845 part of it. I will add, and I don't know, maybe this was clear, but in the group one, distribution co-ops, I'm not sure that that's how I would assess all of what we're getting, because we do have someone coming from Central Power, which I don't really view as a distribution co-ops. And then the RECs is what I guess I would have thought of as being speaking for the distribution co-ops. But we also have one or more people coming from McKenzie Electric and Montreal Williams Electric, and somebody that wants to call in from Dakota Valley. So it's not just the RECs filling that.
You mean like area. Zach from the RECs?
Yeah, yeah. Some of them are coming individually.
So who do you anticipate on that panel? Besides SPP rep, WAPA rep, and a basin rep?
I expect Zach and then someone from Central Power, from McKenzie Electric, Montreal Williams Electric, and then Dakota Valley, that person's just calling in.
And Cass? Was Cass Electric? I thought I saw them on the list.
I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Isn't Cass...
And they're coming in person, right?
Isn't Cass part of Minn Kota?
That's right, they are.
Oh.
So they're part of the afternoon...
They're in the afternoon.
With MISO.
All right, good. All right, that makes...
Do we need...
One, two, three.
You know, you're talking about Zach.
Four.
Dakota Valley.
Seven.
McKenzie. Would it be appropriate to have one or maybe two of them at the most that represent the co-op side of the equation?
No.
Or do you want them all on the panel? Because we might hear the same thing repeatedly.
Yeah, and like, I don't know how much of this, like, I'm doing the questioning because I can fill this time. But I don't know that I have any questions for Dakota Valley Electric specifically, unless it's something just general co-op related that Zach doesn't have an answer to. So to me, either of those two would be fine, but that only makes a one-person difference. It is very important that McKenzie and Montreal be represented. They have totally unique systems in this. And by the way, I'll point out, you know, not customer numbers, but electricity sold. Each of those two companies is bigger in North Dakota than either MDU or NSP. They are big, big players and have completely differing perspectives on how the February event went down and how it was working with WAPA.
Mm-hmm.
So they really need to be at the table. I have specific questions for them.
It's a big group.
That's seven then, right? SPP, WAPA, Basin, Central Power, McKenzie, Montreal, and Zach. Seven.
Right.
I'm guessing that Zach will defer to them a lot. But
I believe he will.
I think so too. I don't. I think mainly the distribution co-ops that aren't McKenzie and Montreal Williams, it's important for them to hear how this is all framed and to know whether they're actually understanding how this all system all works. But they're kind of the policy takers in this case. And so if WAPA comes in here I don't mean to pick on them specifically, WAPA, Central Power, SPP, whoever it is, and tries to shift all the blame on that everything is the distribution co-op's fault, well, then maybe they do have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that's going to happen, and the fact that they're in the room will assure us that it's not going to happen because it's not true.
Right.
And so, I don't think they're going to have a lot of time taken discussing things, but I do think they need to be in the room.
Okay. Well, what I was thinking would happen, in my recollection of how we decided to start this, is that we would start with, like, question one and let them all respond. Nobody's going to be, like, go ahead, start. You get 10 minutes, and then everybody gets 10 minutes to talk, and then we use whatever time afterwards. I thought we decided we're going to start with that first question, let everybody respond, and then we can ask our questions accordingly. Some of number two and number three might be part of that already. You may or may not have to follow up with those. But after you as a moderator feel like we've kind of covered the topic, then you can move kind of into the next area.
Okay.
And then through that list, and then, you know, maybe we cover everything and break, or maybe we don't. But when 10:15 comes, we break, and then we pick up again. And it would be great if it worked out that we could kind of divide the topics up, but it might not be that precise. It might just be more free-flowing. And so what is... And then we get into this, you know, the second kind of theme, the role in addressing resource adequacy. And then, again, they each get to respond. Every time you throw out a new question, then they all can kind of go through it and we can ask follow-up questions.
Okay.
Does that work? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be pretty unstructured, like somewhat unstructured. But I think we've got enough definition here and focus to keep it moving.
Yeah, and I think it will just be incumbent on, I suppose, me in the morning and you in the afternoon to make sure they understand that. So when we throw out the first question, they don't need to all sit and repeat the same thing. They only need to follow up if they disagree about something,
yeah,
or have a different perspective.
Yeah. And I'll try to, I can maybe lay some of that out at the beginning. And then as moderator, you can reemphasize it.
Okay.
Is that kind of in keeping with how you expected this, envisioned this?
Generally, yes.
Do you have different thoughts or ideas for how to make it better, or anything?
No ideas in terms of how to make it better, just to reiterate, seven panelists, you know, if there's seven on the panel, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping it flowing, because if everyone even took 3 minutes per question, that's, you know, by the time you transition, that's 20 to 25 minutes per question times, you know, five questions. It gobbles up the whole morning. So I think that'll be the challenge, and not because you aren't both more than capable, because you are, but they're also on the panel and they're going to want to say things. So I think the key is just controlling the flow. We're going to lead off with different people on various questions, and then following their response, if you have something that's distinctly different, just recognizing time constraints, type of a thing. And,
yep,
and I think that's key. That's key, because you don't, as you say, said, you know, we don't need someone repeating the exact same thing for 3 minutes after the first respondent does. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the time will be gone. We'll blink and time will be gone.
So it looks to me then like questions one and two fall into the first half of the discussion, emergency operations and communications, And 4 and 5 fall into the second half, the markets and long-term reliability, and that the number 3, the load shed plans, kind of is both. Do you guys see it the same way?
I guess I think of load shed plans as an emergency operation. But
so
it could fall into long-term reliability, too.
Try and get pretty much through 3 of them in the first half. And
yeah. Because I think they might naturally get into number 2 as part of their number 1, but, you know, I don't know that all of those are completely distinct from, you know, each other.
Do these panelists have these 5 over broad questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Anything from your guys' perspective? The cafeteria's been notified. All the room setup is good to, we're good to go. Technology, we're testing this afternoon, right? We're already tested.
We've tested several times.
Okay. Snack.
And give legislative council a lot of credit. They've worked with us very nicely.
Let's make sure to send them a thank you note when we're done.
And we're not going to do another thank you note in this case, but I mean, that one I agree with, but I want to point out another thank you. A big part of the reason that Legislative Council is allowing us to use this room, because apparently that is not something that's happening,
yeah,
is because of long-term relationship that primarily Steve, the commission in general, but Steve in particular, has built up down there. And
good job, Steve.
We're very fortunate.
Good work.
To have this room, or we'd be renting a room downtown somewhere.
No kidding. Yeah, that's awesome. Good work.
Thank you. But you're not getting a card.
Well, I can say this with confidence that, you know, for everyone in the room, thank you for everything that you've all done to coordinate and help put this together. So it's a lot of work.
Yes.
I keep asking Steve, what can I do? What can I do? And basically, I think it's code for just stay out of the way. But
and Steve, did we have adequate tables up front then? If there's like 7 on a panel and then the commissioners have 1 table, was there enough?
We'll have to
we might have to
in for food, and we'll have to pull in a couple of tables.
We'll look at that this afternoon. But
and we'll have to have a table for registration that isn't set up yet. Those are the two things.
We'll have to make sure we have enough room for the panels.
Oh, yeah, that's already been set.
Okay, and there was enough for, like, if there's 7 and then 3 commissioners and then...
Yeah. We can walk down this afternoon and take a look.
Okay.
The other thing is, Victor, you should work with Stacy to make sure we have name...
Table tents.
Yeah, we were just discussing that. Since we don't know specifically which people are going to be up there from each organization, we could just do the name. We're going to do name tags for everybody. Good. And then the name plates can just be the organization.
Yep.
That's a good plan. Make sure it's really big.
Yeah, whoever they...
As big a font as you can.
For the name, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how...
Always like, oh, I wish I could read that.
We'll make them as big as we can. And then whoever they put up there in front of their name...
Yep.
Plate is up to them.
And I believe we set up two tables. These are pretty short tables. They're more like the ones that Stacy and Victor and Adam are at in length.
Mm, they're a foot or more shorter than that.
Shorter even?
Yeah.
So we set up two tables like off to our right that I guess I was kind of thinking of like Patrick and Victor and Adam and Jack.
Okay.
Now, one thing, just because you'll both be you'll both be moderating, and just fair warning, I think the time, I think it'll be challenging to get through what we want to get through in the time allotted. The day is going to go very fast. It's going to be very compacted in terms of different respondents. So I have jotted down a number of questions, but I'm going to see how it unfolds, and I'll have to have literally a burning question because I do think time's going to be squeezed. And if it's not, I'll probably signal that, you know, I'd like to, when the opportunity presents, to get a question in. But I am also going to be watching the clock, the time, seeing how things are flowing. And again, it's going to have to be, it would anyway, but what I would define as a real burning question. I'm not going to ask a question just for the sake of asking a question.
No. Well,
we don't have the time.
If they're talking about things that you feel you've already heard, or they're not, you know, I mean, I think,
right,
jump in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or if it's going down a different, you know, like if they're going down a rabbit hole on something that is mm-hmm. irrelevant, I think, like, for that same reason, redirect. So,
and I think we have to, that's going to be really the challenge, because just over the years, my observation has been large organizations, when you call them on the carpet about something, they tend to want to give very long answers and just get through the day in the first couple questions and just yeah. use up the time. And
well, and there's
I'm looking for specific answers here, and I don't need 10 minutes for you each to go through all this stuff. We've heard a lot of it already.
Yeah.
Give, if there's anything new and pressing you want us to know, and then we can get some questions in too.
Yeah.
Or that we don't feel have been answered.
Agreed. Yeah, it, there's a very strong tendency to fall into the company line on whatever any one of these are. And they've all seen and heard and spoken the company line multiple times now since February. Yeah. So.
And I do think it's important that, I don't know, I guess I would want our staff to feel free to come up and just point something out to me if they, if there was something burning that they thought we were missing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Definitely. I agree.
Before we leave the topic, I think that's important because he's got a lot of information and knowledge.
So do you want us to kind of come up in person and hand you notes in that case, text? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what you all would prefer.
I would prefer not to get a text, because then it opens my mm-hmm. personal phone up to any follow-up requests that we might receive. I'd rather have it on paper and give it, obviously, give it to the appropriate moderator, but that's my thought.
Okay.
Sure.
I agree.
Be sure to send a lot of them just to make everybody.
I'll write some up just for fun tonight.
Good like, job. Get like a big long, and we can be like, yeah. And some questions from staff.
Hopefully, we'll just be so thorough that they feel that we got it all covered.
Yeah.
It's too bad we can't have a screen like they have on Jeopardy, where you can scroll it out and write it.
And that's another thing to remember: you will have some people remotely, so
not asking questions though. Answering, but not asking.
Yes, WAPA will be online, some Excel people,
yeah.
Dakota Valley person.
The Excel, so, but Excel has people in the room, so I'm counting yeah. on the people in the room to trigger, like, oh, so-and-so online should answer yeah. this question and do that.
Yeah.
Same with MISO. They have two people here, and then a lot of their technical folks are online, so they'll pull them in.
This is just, not to get nitpicky on it, but if, let's say an Excel does indicate that, well, we do have someone on the line that would be more appropriate, I don't know how long it'll take to get them queued up, or if it's just simple.
They should be online. It should be simple. That's what they've been
okay.
trying to practice with that room.
But if there's any type of a delay, rather than just waiting for them to figure out how to unmute their microphone, or if they're having some technical difficulties, not that they don't know how to unmute their microphone, I would just say, you know what, I'm going to get a response from, you know, whoever's at the table next, and then we'll circle back as they, just to keep it moving.
I'm quite confident there's going to be multiple things that we're going to end up having companies follow up on after
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
where we don't get the information. Mm-hmm. And because of the time constraints, I have no patience for waiting around on people's virtual testimony, with the one exception, possibly, of WAPA, because I believe they're under a federal government travel restriction and can't come here. But
well,
the rest of these chose not to come.
Well, emergency operations and communications. We'll see how well we do on the first topic.
Well, I happen to, I mean, I think we'll be okay. The technology has been used. Hopefully we won't have snafus there. But the technical folks who are there for MISO, I know, they have a much more depth on the specific issues than the more generalists like Brian and Allison who are here. So I want to hear from the technical experts.
Have we indicated to the people that will be remote to be on at least 10, 15 minutes ahead of time? And you think, well, why 15? And then to be able to do sound checks with them?
Yeah, but I think we can send something out today.
Yeah, no, I sent out instructions yesterday, but I didn't indicate that. But we could send out an email and just say it would be helpful if you come on.
Then we could do sound checks. Okay, and you know, so and so. Let's test.
People do that, but not everybody.
That is a good idea, though.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's early that they've got to jump on, but
I will say, just
there's more than one that we'll have to do a sound check on. So whatever you think the appropriate lead time is on that.
Last week I was in a virtual meeting with Mr. Linke, and the connection was just. That's the WAPA guy. The connection was just fine, and everything was working well. So it's not new to him.
Is this conference being recorded?
We're going to try to do both audio and video, which is going to be a little bit of a challenge because of how we have to route things through the Capitol, but yes.
Okay. Does that have to be announced then at the beginning that it is? Okay.
Public meeting.
I think the agenda actually specified.
Yeah, it said on there, but
it would be broadcast and recorded.
You don't have to let people know that. No.
Okay. Anything else? I think we're in good shape. Thank you again, everybody. This should be an interesting and hopefully enjoyable day for everybody, and hopefully it'll be productive. Good discussions. Okay, I think that was our last item on discussion. Now we get to go to our favorite, scheduling.
I think one of my scheduling items may be a little bit of a discussion.
All right, let's start with that one.
So MDU cost of gas.
Okay.
So this would the reason for the special would be to approve their cost of gas adjustment that we had an informal with them to mm-hmm. discuss. So I guess I'm looking for what direction you all would like to go with that. The couple of options that they had given us is to leave it alone and let it go as per the normal course, which would be a 79-cent adder to every decatherm starting in October. There was two other alternatives to that. One was to start in June 1st with a straight adjustment. So it would be a number of months early. That would only really drop it down to about 74 cents per decatherm for that whole time period. And then the other alternative was the cranking it up in the summer. So if we started in June, the summer decatherm charge would be $1.85. And then the winter, it would go down to 39 cents.
Were they filing some stuff with us after our meeting?
That was what they were filing. The commissioner requested those two pieces of information.
Okay. So did it show anything? Like, was it just the numbers? What it was going to be per decatherm? Is that what we
had? They had, you know, like projected sales and what, you know,
how
the total amounts
are.
There was some additional information that they passed along, but
okay.
The substance of what we had asked for was really those numbers.
Are you guys ready to make a decision on this now? Discuss it? Or, yep. It's your portfolio. Do you have a recommendation?
Assuming we don't have any requests for hearing, the deadline is next Tuesday, I believe, the 25th. Assuming we don't, I don't anticipate any. The two options, I like option three. Hired, realizing, okay, $1.85 versus $39 is significant, but the Decatherm usage in the summer months is considerably lower, especially for low-income households that don't have multiple natural gas devices typically. So I like option three. I think it helps mitigate the impact in the winter months when usage is higher, and it would be more pronounced. And it also creates a little bit of a cushion should natural gas pricing move up over the next winter heating season and not layering, was it 79 cents a decatherm?
Yep.
It were just flattened out?
Correct. It was 79 cents would be the norm if we would take no other additional action.
That's the one I like. But if my colleagues see it differently, then we might want to might schedule a work session. So.
I wouldn't need a work session.
I have one other piece to share along with that. So in full disclosure, the MDU did file to implement June 1st. They actually have some increased gas costs unrelated to any of this business.
Right.
They just filed that here within the last week. That is going to be another 64 cent increase to the decatherm cost, but they see that as a temporary increase. Likely that will clear within a month or two. But just in full disclosure, that would cause the June rate to go up even higher.
But again, with very low decatherm, particularly on the low-income household side, as a rule.
Correct.
I'm on board with option three.
Okay. Do you want to bring an order instead of...
Are you...
I that works for me.
Okay. I will prepare an order for option three, which is the summer rate at dollar or whatever it was I said a second ago, and $1.85 for the summer rate and 39 cents for the winter rate for the special meeting that we will be scheduling.
Okay.
I agree.
Any other discussion on that item? You're good? Okay.
On an unrelated, well, related, but...
Scheduling part.
Yeah, we got to schedule that. Go ahead.
I believe we just received NSP's proposal, so we'll want to add that to discussion as well. Just in the essence of the timing of it. I haven't actually taken a deep dive into it yet, but...
To discussion, or because we can't add anything to discussion?
Or not discuss, work.
Scheduling.
Scheduling.
I think that's number two.
Oh, it is. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Stacy.
Sorry, I was just going through my pile of paperwork here, and another item that MDU did mention to me, Great Plains, their cost of gas adjustment is separate from MDU natural gas. That part of their system was hit a little bit harder by the increased cost of gas. At present, if nothing else was changed, they would have to increase the decatherm charge by $2 for that part of the system. They don't have a filing in on this. I don't have a whole great deal of detail on it. But they're assuming you may want to do something different with that. Their initial suggestion was to pass that over 24 months, which would drop the $2 down to $1 per decatherm.
This is for what now?
For Great Plains Natural Gas, the Wahpeton system.
They're not
their cost of gas is from a different pipeline system,
okay.
So it's calculated separately from MDU Natural Gas.
Did we talk about them at our work session?
No. I don't believe we did.
So.
Huh. Okay, well, I don't feel like I have enough to make
it. I don't. I'm not looking for a decision.
Okay.
What I think would probably be best is if I have the company make a filing with their suggestion on this.
Sure.
We'll get a notice out there and probably get another informal for that one.
All right.
Just wanted to give a heads up on that, assuming you would want to do something different with that one as well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't prevent us from doing this other case that's listed here in number four.
Correct.
Yeah, 2108 we can... No, not 2108. Yeah, 2108. Yeah, that's MDU.
That one can proceed.
Right, that's yes. When we just talked about.
Are we on scheduling item one or two, I guess?
I think four. We're on three and four.
Three and four.
four is done, but, I believe.
Well, we have to schedule it, though. We have to schedule the meeting. But, we discussed
it. Oh, right, with the other special meeting items.
As you're thinking about scheduling of the meetings, then, that NSP filing that was made, we need to do a notice of opportunity for hearing on that,
right.
and a meeting to issue that.
That was
Which filing is that now?
That'd be item number two. We would need a notice on that. And then if you want it out soon or quick, you would maybe consider putting that on one of these special meetings.
Need a work session first.
I can put a notice on. So this is the special meeting we schedule for the items three and four. I can add a notice to that for item two.
Okay.
And we still have flexibility, correct? Some degree of flexibility in how we move the cost around, how we balance it out or appropriate it on for however many months duration. And then Jack's not here anymore, but that was my impression. And that's what we did on the MDU. We issued the notice of opportunity for hearing on general. You know, the general concept, and here's the amount.
Yep.
Partitioning it out.
That would be how I would write the notice of opportunity is generic enough where it would cover the outer bounds of what we may do with it.
I'd like to see that on the next, when we schedule our special meeting, to add that to the list as well. It's a quick procedural item, but then we can keep moving this along now that the filing actually arrived. Was it yesterday, Pat?
It must have been yesterday. I just received it, a hard copy, after docketing.
Yeah, yesterday.
So we're not making a decision, but we're procedurally moving, advancing the ball.
Okay, so we need to come up with a special meeting that will include items three and four and a notice for item two. But then we also need a work session on item two.
For the special meeting, might I suggest May 27th in the afternoon? We're all together in the morning already anyway. It's after the 25th and early enough so they can start that in June if the motion passes.
What was that date?
The 27th.
This month?
Yes.
I need to check here. I got to get signed in. Okay. I haven't my so executive committee meeting, but I think it's going to be canceled. So, but if we said one, could we say 1:30? What were you suggesting for that day?
Just the afternoon.
Okay, if we said 1:30, that executive committee meeting would be done by then. Yeah, if we have it,
that's fine. Yep, anytime.
27th at 1:30 for number three and four.
Is that going to include the notice, too?
That would be, yes, include the notice for two as well.
And then, Pamela, can you hold that as soon as possible on our schedule? Just even if the notice, if everything isn't ready, just hold that time. That'd be great. All right. Then we've got, when do we want to do, what comes next? Any sense for what we need to do more urgently?
Well, I suppose that work session.
For both one and two. So we could do those back to back, maybe, someplace. Are you guys around on the morning of the 28th?
Could be.
I am, yes.
Okay, so we could do like a 9 and a 10 for those two work sessions. And, yeah. Now, the NSP one, when we did that with NBU, it was an informal.
We had an informal.
Did we already have an informal? Okay.
We did.
Forgetting.
The NSPs is just a little bit more complex where we probably would need a work session to work through the options because they're the dollar amount is bigger.
Okay. Should we schedule those separately or concurrently? Can we do that with work sessions? To finish, start one when the other one is over?
Yeah, we could.
So start at 9 and do them back to back?
Yep.
For 1 and 2? Okay, that's the 28th.
We imagine that those are going to end shortly, though? Either of them?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, if we think, and I don't know, these are pretty complex things. I'm seeing them both as taking some time and discussion on our part. And so I really am not a fan of, like, telling all these people they have to, in order to represent their clients well, be here at 9 o'clock, and then we take one of the cases up at 9 and talk about it till 10 or 10:30 before they, and they've just sat, the other group has sat there and wasted
an hour.
Well, can we schedule one at 9 and then the next at 10:30? Have a little bit of cushion.
That's what I'm thinking. And if we have some free time in between, I think we all have plenty to do here. But
do you think NSP is going to take an hour and a half? Boy, I don't envision that
I don't even being an hour. I have to review that. I can't remember where we left that.
Well, we spent a lot of time, but our options, I mean, we only have so many options, so I don't know that it'll take. I think we could easily schedule them an hour, the first one an hour. The second one I can see taking a little longer. Or, like, the second one being Nodak Electric might be longer.
Yeah, let's do that. And if it goes a little long, then, yeah, it might have to wait for us a little bit, but it's not like they have to wait through someone else's whole hearing.
Okay.
Or session.
So you want to do item 2, 21-102, at 9.
Yep.
And then 2356 at 10.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
And actually, just real quick, on number 2, when you notice that, it's 21-102 and 21-9 as well.
21-09?
Yes.
All right. Okay, then last but not least, the Dakota Gasification Company hearing.
Yes, so I received a number of dates from the company. We haven't issued any of the notices or
anything like that yet.
So I can kind of go through them. I looked at everyone's calendar. They looked really iffy, but we'll see what we come up with. So July 12th or 13th.
Those do not work for me.
15th or 16th?
July is such a nightmare, but let me look.
Where is this one at?
Mercer County.
No.
Those would work for me.
But. Do you know?
No.
I have a family reunion. So we need 2 days.
July 12th, 13th, 15th, 16th, which I think are all no's.
Yeah, that week doesn't work.
Okay. 19th through the 21st, any of those
Neighbor.
Three?
Summer policy.
Neighbor.
All no? Okay. 27th, last roll of the dice.
SCP.
What about the 8th and 9th?
I don't think they had any dates then, from what I recall. I think they just had, like, the 5th and the 6th.
5th would be a holiday for us.
Yeah. Let me go back and double-check that email. But, yeah, so I will go back to the drawing board and find something.
I don't want to hold this project up. I assume this will be in Beulah or Hazen.
It would have to be. Those really are best two options for Mercer County.
If we could trouble everybody here to start in at a somewhat early time on a Monday morning, I'll give up my Monday if we can start as early as possible. So I have to, because I have an event with NDATC that day on Tuesday.
Which date?
Is that in Medora? Is that the Medora thing?
Yes.
12th and 13th
of July, but I'll just get there when I get there on the 12th. That's not as key as the 13th part.
Okay.
Hang on a sec.
But, I mean, the earlier we could start, the more helpful it would be.
Sure.
12th works.
So July 12th?
At Jet, Brian's checking.
Yes, that works.
You are the only participant in this conference. Press any key to continue this conference.
And I'm
the conference will now continue.
I'm assuming since that's relatively close, that would not be a flying situation. We would drive.
Drive.
Yeah.
Okay. This one. Yeah.
Are we doing both the 12th and the 13th?
No.
No, we won't need 2 days, just one. So just the 12th.
All right.
And so that is in Beulah?
Well, having Jerry find some locations. We really haven't done much in Mercer County with sighting.
Anyone know anything about Beulah or Hazen?
It'd be Beulah or Hazen.
What did you say?
Does anyone know anything about Beulah and Hazen and where we might have it?
I can give her all kinds of ideas.
Is that Mountain Time?
Unfortunately, no.
Couldn't resist.
Held out as long as I could.
At the Crispin Ranch.
Man. All right.
There's so, a small piece of Mountain Time between Beulah and Hazen, though.
Do we have a start time?
Yeah. So, is 8:30 reasonable?
That would be great if you guys don't mind.
I mean, we'd have to leave at like 7:15, right? Or 7?
About 7. Especially if it's in Beulah, it'll take you an hour and 15 minutes.
For you, Randy, we can do it. I'll have to give up my swimming that day.
All right.
I have a dumb question.
We got pool up there. You can go
What time did we pick for the special meeting on the 27th?
1:30.
1:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that work for you, Brian? 8:30?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We're set. Man, for such a short agenda, that sure took a while. You were right, Pamela. All right, is there any other items for the good of the order? Seeing and hearing none, we're adjourned.